Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, is all about salvation. The salvation of our souls is confirmed by Peter in 1 Peter 1:9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. That is, Jesus is delivering, saving, and freeing our basic and fundamental persons. He did not come to change our careers, economic status, or station in society. That kind of change did not require His death and resurrection. It did not necessitate Him leaving heaven, taking upon Himself the form of a servant, and being made in the likeness of sinful flesh. A change in your social, domestic, and economic status did not require Jesus to be cursed, go down into the regions of the dead, or be raised from the dead. An improvement in your health did not necessitate an intercessor in heaven or a mediator of the new covenant. That ought to be plain enough to require no further comments. To doubt such affirmations is to reveal a basic ignorance of the Word of God and an element of dishonesty as well. All of those things could be accomplished without a Savior, without a vicarious death, without crushing the serpent's head. In fact, there were men in history that experienced such things prior to Christ, and some of them were even the enemies of God. When we speak about the Lord Jesus Christ, we must confine ourselves to things that cannot be realized independently of Him. The human condition did, in fact, require a Savior from heaven. That Savior had to possess all power in heaven and earth, for it takes that kind of power to save a person, rescuing them from the dominion of sin, the clutches of the devil, the guilt of sin, and the curse of mortality. Every personality, circumstance, and situation had to be controlled by this Savior and be subject to Him. No adversary could be capable of contending with Him or wrenching His sheep from His hand. His Word had to have such power that it could subdue the enemy and alter any circumstance. The Savior had to be thoroughly adequate, complete, and capable of supplying everything required to rescue humanity from the dilemma of sin. He must be the kind of Savior that required no assistance. Both His person and His work had to be sufficient so that nothing could be added to it. That's the kind of Savior we must have, and that is the kind of Savior, praise God, that we do have. There are no worldly specialists that can add something to His work. What He is doing requires no human additive, additional influence, or added work. Nothing that is required in salvation can be required from any other resource. His salvation cannot be implemented by something that had its origin with men. No saved person can be made better or more complete by means of something Jesus Himself does not supply. No advancement can be made in salvation by means of resources that have been developed or dispensed by mere men. All of that and much more is involved in Jesus having all power in heaven and earth. If any needed resource can be provided by anyone else, then Jesus doesn't have all the power. If men can contribute anything to their salvation or bring anything to the table of divine acceptance, then all things have not been made subject to Christ. If there's some book, some routine, some procedure, or personal discipline that can cause you to be better or more complete in Christ, then Jesus is not all-powerful. Jesus spoke the truth when He said, "Without Me you can do nothing," John 15:5. Paul declared the unmitigated truth when he said, "And ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power," Colossians 2:10. That is what is involved in Jesus having all power in heaven and earth. Now allow me to get to the matter of declaring the reality of this condition, of Jesus possessing all power in heaven and earth. The dispensing of power to the Lord Jesus was prophesied by Daniel, to whom this precious gem of truth was revealed. He was given a vision of Jesus returning to heaven, being brought before God, and receiving total dominion. The vision is recorded in Daniel 7:13-14. The 13th verse depicts Jesus returning after fulfilling His commission to lay down His life and take it up again. He returns with the clouds. The disciples saw Him go up into heaven in a cloud from Mount Olivet. Daniel saw that ascension from heaven's point of view with Him coming into the presence of God after leaving the presence of men. Here's what he saw. "I saw in night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought Him near before Him." The Son of Man is the Lord Jesus Himself, returning as a glorified man. The Ancient of Days is God the Father, who sent the Son on His mission of mercy. The risen, conquering Christ is brought back to the Father, triumphant over the foe, and having fully executed the will of the Father. Now the Father rewards him as he said he would. Verse 14 of Daniel 7 reads, "And there was given unto him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed." The language leaves absolutely no question about what happened, and Daniel saw it around 500 years before it actually happened. The exalted Jesus was given dominion, that is, he became the dominant one, possessing all power and authority. He was given glory, that is, who he is and how he appeared perfectly substantiated that he had received all the dominion. He was given a kingdom, that is, the execution of the will of God was now in his hands. No expression of divine favor would be shown independently of him. The extent of this kingdom covered all the earth. This included all people, all nations, and all languages. They would now serve his interests, and he would use them. They would not use him. The dominion Jesus received would not wane or dissipate. It would not pass away. It would not become obsolete, and would not be succeeded by another power. It shall never be destroyed. It was an everlasting dominion, with no conclusion, no competitors, and nothing that would not be under its umbrella. This was not a kingdom Jesus will receive when he returns to earth. Rather, it was the kingdom he received when he returned to heaven. His is not a rule that is yet to be revealed, but a rule that is presently in place and being executed. Jesus cannot possibly be exalted any higher than he is right now. Right now, when he's at the right hand of God. He has all power at this time. He has all dominion right now. At this present time, the only personality who is not subject to Christ is God himself, as affirmed in 1 Corinthians 15:27. Now the apostles confirmed in their doctrine that what Daniel saw is now taking place. In 1 Peter 3:22, Peter declares that Jesus is gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject to him. In Ephesians 1:20-22, Paul affirms that God has presently placed Jesus at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that's named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church. Paul also states that Jesus has been raised from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Colossians 1:17. 1 Timothy 6:16 states that at this time Jesus is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Hebrews 1:3 announces that at this very time Jesus is upholding all things by the word of his power. There is therefore no question about Jesus' authority, power, dominion, or omnipotence. There is no realm and no person over which he does not presently have effective authority. None at all. Even Satan and all his hosts yield to him. If this was not the case, Jesus could not protect us or guarantee that we will not be tempted above that which we are able to bear, as 1 Corinthians 10:13 affirms. But what does all of this mean? Is this a mere theological position, a tenet, so to speak, of the faith? Let me assure you, this is not a cold and lifeless point of doctrine. This is the only kind of Savior that could deliver us from the devil, the power of sin, and this present evil world. It's the only kind of Savior that can get us needed resources from heaven. You absolutely need a Savior like this to get you from earth to heaven and from now to them. This is the kind of Savior you will need to go through the passing away of the heavens and earth and the experience of standing before the Judge of all the earth. You cannot successfully resist the devil unless all principalities and powers are actually subject to your Savior. You cannot run the race to glory unless the one who's leading you is really King of kings and Lord of lords. You cannot obtain grace to help in the time of need unless there is one in heaven who can get it through the domain of the prince of the power of the air down to you. You must have a Savior who is also Lord, a man who is also King, and a leader who is also invincible. But let me state it in an even more pointed manner, in the words of Scripture itself. Because Jesus has been given all dominion, it is written in Hebrews 7:25, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. That is, he's able to save completely or in every way, or save forever without any failure. The Amplified Bible reads, he is able also to save to the uttermost, completely, perfectly, finally, and for all time and eternity. Listener, your salvation does not ultimately depend upon you, but upon Jesus, and he is fully able to do what's required. Your role is to trust Him, or, as the text states, come to God the Father by means of Him. Because all dominion of every kind has been given to Jesus, and He is Lord of Lords, we can take hold of what Romans 8, 38, and 39 affirm. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Even the last enemy, which is death, cannot drive a wedge between you and the love of God, which is realized in Christ Jesus. And what about life, with all of its difficulties, challenges, and experiences? Is it capable of driving a wedge between the Lord and those who trust Him? Indeed, it cannot. This is not owing to some law that has been put into place, or a fence or a barrier that has locked you into a safe place. It's rather because of a living Jesus who is not only Savior but Lord. And what of angels, powerful angels who dwarf human powers and wisdom? Can they invade the citadel of salvation and pull you out of God's presence? Indeed, they cannot, because a dominion belongs to Jesus, not to them. And what of the powers of darkness, principalities and powers, who for centuries dominated the world? Can they come between you and the Lord so that you can no longer receive from Him, or He cannot hear your prayers? No, 1,000 times no. Jesus has a dominion, not principalities and powers. And what about circumstances, things present and things to come? Are they capable of separating you from the experience of divine love? Emphatically, no. It is affirmed that they are not able to do so. The dominion has been given to Jesus, not to circumstance. There is no place or influence, height or depth, or any other creature that can undo what God has done in His people. Jesus has a dominion. Jesus stated the case this way. His words are found in John 10, 27 through 29. My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. My Father, which gave them to Me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of My Father's hand. I realize some read these words and say a person can never fall away from the Lord. But this is not what Jesus said, and He was not even addressing the matter of falling away here. There are other statements He made relative to falling away. This text is about His sheep, who hear His voice and follow Him. No man can force them out of the hand of Jesus. He has been given the dominion. As if this was not enough to keep our faith strong and consistent, the Holy Spirit testifies even further of Jesus and His dominion. When speaking of beginning believers who are weak in faith because they simply have not yet grown up, the Spirit boldly affirms, Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. Do not doubt that, listener. Trust Him and do not doubt. God makes you stand through Jesus, to whom He has given all dominion. Perhaps you feel you know enough about yourself to realize you're weak and have many vulnerable areas. You've fallen before, and maybe you feel sure you're going to fall again. Then let me bring you a message of hope. It will require you to believe the truth and to depend upon it. That you can fall cannot be denied. If it was true that it was impossible to fall, you'd need no Savior, no Mediator, no Intercessor. You would not need the Holy Spirit or faith or hope. Here's a word for you, and it's straight from the throne of God, recorded in Jude 1:24. There the Lord is described as Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. That glad condition is owing to the fact that Jesus has been given all dominion. Now, listener, go in the strength of the Lord and trust in Him. Believe His promises, listener. Hide them in your heart.